It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters.
And first, a correction. Yesterday, we mispronounced the name of a British politician during a story about the abuse of Iraqi prisoners by British soldiers. Sir Mingus Campbell, a member of Parliament, spells his first name M-E-N-Z-I-E-S, but he points out that the correct Scottish pronunciation is Mingus. And thanks to listener Paul Harris of St. Louis Park, Minnesota, for bringing the mistake to our attention.
Our reports on Colorado Springs, Colorado, as a center of evangelical Christian groups, brought in lots of mail.
Your report seems to equate the presence of religious organizations with the presence of a highly religious population. The numbers belie that fact.
That comment is from Colorado Springs resident Deb Courtney Bertha.
She continues, "There is no argument that the religious organizations located here seem to have a disproportionately loud voice in politics and a mission to influence public policy. They speak, however, only for their constituents, of whom the vast majority of residents in Colorado Springs do not include themselves."
Tim Woodruff of Wilmington, Delaware writes, "I hope you'll make clear at some point that a significant number of evangelicals oppose President Bush on a number of issues, from social policy to the decision to invade Iraq to the way the occupation of Iraq has been bungled and many lives Iraqi and American lost due to bad planning. A minority of white evangelicals, motivated by their own deeply held religious convictions, voted for John Kerry."
Michelle Norris's interview with Jeffrey Ward, who wrote a biography of African-American boxer Jack Johnson, left at least one listener hanging.
At the end of the piece, Michelle said that Johnson died in 1946 in an automobile accident after being insulted by a white restaurant owner.
Linda Hunt of Muncie, Indiana wonders, was he beaten up and unable to drive? Did he crash while running from an angry mob? Was the shabby treatment he received related to the wreck at all? Please clarify.
Well, Linda, biographer Jeffrey Ward cites Johnson's traveling companion, who recalls being told that the pair could eat in the back of a restaurant or not at all. After eating, they got back in the car, and the man remembers Johnson became increasingly angry about the incident as he drove. He failed to see an oncoming truck.
The science of beer taste tests got listener Larry Dennison of Port Townsend, Washington, foaming.
"Boy, are you guys saps," he writes. "The marketers at these two beer companies played you like a violin. They conned you into giving these two competitors thousands of dollars worth of free advertising by making you think there was a serious issue between them."
Finally, a story from listener Carmela Federico, inspired by our piece about cell phones ringing in theaters. She writes, "At the end of a spectacular Chinese dance performance, a dancer carefully drew a rake through sand on the stage, creating a perfect spiral with zen-like care and concentration. We all watched mesmerized for at least 10 completely silent minutes when a jangly pop tune rang out through the theater from someone's cell phone. The young woman proceeded to conduct a brief conversation. She should be thankful that the performance drew a pretty peaceable crowd."
Write us with your stories, complaints, or praise at atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.